Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunnin'. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Want to welcome all my listeners. Welcome my listeners in Nigeria, Canada, Germany, and here in the States. Also want to welcome my listeners on the Activate Radio, Activate Media platform out of Boston, Massachusetts, where this broadcast is replayed on Friday night. I am going to be bringing the queens to the table tonight. I am going to open up the platform for them tonight. No specific subjects, just really general talk, like I did a couple of weeks ago when we had the Brothers Round Table. Just really wanting to get the sisters' perspective on some of the issues that are going on, some of the things that are happening here, as well as abroad. Like with the Brothers Roundtable, I'll be, whenever you are ready to speak, just hit the one, and I'll see you in the queue. And I'm going to just leave the mics open like I did with the Brothers Roundtable. I just ask that everyone be respectful, and with me leaving the mics open, If you're not speaking, I just ask that you mute your phone as to where we can hear whoever is speaking, and then just being respectful to the person that's speaking. When you are done speaking, I just ask that you yield the mic. That way, anybody who's waiting to speak will know that you are done with your statement, comment, or whatever it may be. I just wanted to bring a quick update. I see you, 3736. Wanted to bring a quick update about a case that I had talked about numerous times, but I actually did an update around maybe 2.5 or 3 months ago, not long after her appeal. And I never heard anything about the first appeal, but Amber Geiger had a second appeal hearing, and it was overturned, thank goodness. And that just, you know, kind of reiterates a point that I made in a show a couple of weeks ago where, you know, these policemen do not have any type of remorse or regret for what they do. And then they don't even really want to sit down and serve the lenient sentences that they get. Amber Geiger murdered a man in cold blood. She got, 5 years? But not enough time for murder. And out of that sentence, that 10-year sentence, she'll probably serve 5 years, you know. So just wanted to bring an update on that particular case because I had brought that to you all's attention a few weeks back. And I did say that if I heard anything, that I would inform the people and let you know. Also, I'm going to give out the call number, and then I'm going to open up your mic, 3736. If you are listening online, Queens especially, just like a couple of weeks ago, the show was geared towards the brothers. Next week's show, I want to bring the brothers and the sisters together so we can kind of hammer out some of these issues and hot topics and, you know, stuff that I'm going to lay some things on the table that I feel like we should be doing as black men and black women. But if you want to get involved in this show tonight, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. And I'm going to open up your mic now, 3736. Welcome to the big picture. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Can you hear me there?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay then. All right. I just understand it's just going to be like free talk today and everything.
Yes.
So I'd like to greet everyone. Thank you for having us on tonight. Greetings to all my sister queens out there, my sister stars, and my brothers who's listening as well. Well, since we're just having free talk, I think everyone is maybe just what we've usually been talking about is what's been going on in the world today, you know, with everything going on with this COVID, the pandemic, the, you know, just a lot of things going on. My deal is it's just time for us to know who we are. Am I on the right track, Melvin? Like, I'm good?
Oh, yeah. You good.
Okay.
You good. I don't have any specific topic.
Okay, then. I'm just saying that, well, I'll say a little bit about myself. I'm a poet. I'm an event coordinator. And, you know, through the eyes of a poet, sometimes we see things a little differently than other people. And the thing that's going on right now with us brothers and sisters is we're going through a transitional stage that I think that everyone needs to be aware of. And if they're not aware of it, I'm starting to be concerned that why they're not aware of it and why they don't understand what's actually going on right now in the world. And it's like, if you're thinking that everything is going to go back to being the same as it was, you know, I think people need to, they need to really ask the creator of, you know, whomever their higher God is to guide them and ask them, you know, to show them what's going on, because we're not going back to the old world, y'all. That world is exactly what it is. It is old, and we're going into a very new world. Now, when some people say that, they start to get afraid, but I guarantee you, great king, queens and kings out there, we have nothing to be afraid of. Do you all realize that we are regaining what we lost? We are right now where we're going, we are going to reclaim everything that we lost. And that's what the whole fight is about that's going on out here, is they don't want us to know who we are, y'all. They don't want us to, you know, regain the first should be the last and the last should be the first. Y'all know what I'm saying? And I know all of us who grew up in the church, we done heard that 100 million times.
Right.
Right? Yeah, we heard that 100 million times. But I don't, you know, and I think internally, like, we knew what they were saying, but we maybe didn't, like, really understand it. But now I think with everybody awakening and, you know, coming into a knowledge of self, people are understanding. So my thing is, and what I just wanted to reiterate and tell people, just have an open mind and be aware of your surroundings. And it's like, come out of the box. We've been, it's like when they tell you that a bird has been caged up for so long, and once you open a door, the bird doesn't even know that the door has been opened, so it remains in the cage. So that's what's happening with a lot of our people right now. Although it's the worst time, it's also the best time of our lives right now. And we just need to take note. And once we take note of it, you will start to relax. You will start to open up your mind more, and you will be guided to do whatever you're supposed to do. In other words, whatever you came to this earth to do, whatever your gift is, you're going to be able to excel in your own gifts. So, I can keep going, so I don't know who, if someone has something else to say, a spinoff to that, because I don't want to just, you know, like you said, be respectful and everything. So if anyone has something, so we can just have a conversation. So I'm not just talking myself. I want another queen to say something so we can actually converse, you know. Because we got a lot of things to talk about: health, how to get back on track with our health, mental, psychologically, everything.
And I want to touch on something that you brought up just then as well, and something that I think is relevant, especially with what's going on, you know, now. And you made the point that we're going to have to, you know, recognize that things are taking a turn. And I say that, I said this a couple of, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the tide is turning, and that we really, and I've constantly been saying this ever since this pandemic started, that we need to start creating our own new normals. Because right now, there are going to be a lot of new things coming into play that, and like you say, this place is never going to go back to the normal that we once knew. I really hope that people are, and I don't think a lot of people really have grasped a hold of that fact, and the realization that, you know, a lot of things that we were used to doing, we're not going to be able to do. Me working in the transportation industry, I've been telling people for the last few months to stock up on your goods before the prices go up and before, they're not available. And now we're seeing that happen. And, you know, and a lot of times, and the reason that I did the Brothers Show roundtable a couple of weeks ago was just to hammer out some of the issues, you know, and some of the things that I feel are holding us back as black men. And we were all in agreement that some of the issue is our own selves, you know, our reluctance. Mm-hmm. To change, our inability to work together, and like I was telling the brothers, mm-hmm. In order for our communities to function as they should, we, as the black man, we've got to take our place. I see more sisters who are, you know, willing to get on the front line where that needs to be our black men, and not taking anything away from the sisters, because the sisters are definitely needed, but the black man is needed but missing. And you said something when you were talking about, you know, the new normals, and just, creating our own momentum, you know, because we have got to get back to the things that we saw our great grandparents doing, you know, our grandparents doing. We've got to learn, and we definitely got to learn how to work together. And I think another thing that is detrimental to us, and I brought this up during the Brothers Roundtable, and I want to bring it up now, and just I want to get your perspective on it, because I brought it up with the brothers, and this is exactly what I told the brothers. We are doing our women a disservice. And the reason I say that is because we're not protecting, we're not leading, we're not being that protection, that cover that our women and our children need. And we live now in such a selfish world where nobody really looks out for anybody. And we brought up the fact that this system and how this system has, you know, always, well, I won't say always, but how this system has provided in the past for our black women, as long as they did not incorporate the black man into the unit. I did a show on the black family. I did a 3-week series, and our back up until the mid 70s, black families were strong, thriving, and very beneficial. And I think that our children now are missing that because they don't have that balance. And I say balance meaning that man with the hard love, that mother with the soft, nurturing love. They need that balance. And we got to get back to basics. And I guess the question that I'm asking is, now that we truly have the free will to do as we want, why is it that the black family is steadily deteriorating right before our eyes, where we used to be the strongest unit out there? We were married at a 64% rate. Right now, these stats that I had gotten was from like 2017, I believe, 2018, but that 64% is like only 32-31% now. Also, you couple in the 8-to-1 ratio of black women to black men. There are not enough black men out here. And I tell black women, not sarcastically or narcissistically or chauvinistically, that if you really find a good brother who's out here doing the right thing, hang on to him, because we're scarce out here. The black man is very scarce. There's a 52 to 48% disparity of male to female. And you couple, you subtract 7 from that, 7% from that, because 7% of black men marry and date outside the race. What I did not do, and what I've been meaning to do, is go back and get the numbers for those black men who are actively, you know, LGBTQ affiliated, because that's going to drop that number even lower, you know. And then, like I was stating as well, the prison numbers. So there you have the 7-to-1, 8-to-1 disparity. And then I even went so far, and I jumped on the brothers, because I say, see, there's a bountiful selection of sisters. And see what brothers do. And I told my sister this. I fought black men, because we take advantage of that. We feel as if we should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women. I don't agree with that, but you see that now more than ever, you know. And then that really throws off the whole, you know, the whole balance, the whole scale, because, you know. And then, so I guess my question, and I'm going to get on to it, is, yeah, like I say, what and why do you think that we as black men and black women do not, you know, get along, romanticize each other like we did in the past? You know, we're not as strong in the family unit. And I'm gonna yell and let you turn into that.
Okay. Well, the reason is simple. It was by design that our families was created to fall, or made to fall. In the beginning, when the Eurocentric did come, or the inorganic ones came, the first thing they did was look at the structure and study the structure and the strength that came from the male, the black male and the black female, if you will, of the Nubian king and queens. I go as far back as to call us what we were, our actual names was Nubian. And one aspect, they worked diligently to break down the family unit. When we came out of slavery into the Reconstruction period, our family units was strong, because although there was, as they say, quote-unquote, chains and shackles, there was not chains and shackles on our mental and psychological mind. We were strong. We were a very strong unit. And when the civil rights movement came into play, and I'm going to say around, I guess around, we were children still, but when that came into play, it seems that there was a plan implemented to further dismantle the black family unit. Because once you did that and you broke them down and you obtained power of to control their mind, once or control their spirit. Once you can control somebody's spirit, you can control their mind. But once you break their spirit, you can control their mind. Well, they immediately with the work on the stronger vessel of the family, which a lot of people might disagree with, but the real backbone of the family is the female. The female is the one who keeps everyone together. Once they break the woman, the man is broken. It's not the other way around, and a lot of people don't understand that. But if you look at your great-grandmothers and everything and look at how the father did, what that great-grandmother said, that father or grandfather was going to back her up. So he was her protector. He was her redeemer. He, whatever that woman did, that man would back her up and protect her and the children. Well, because why? The male, our males, honored the black woman. They knew the value of having a woman in the household. Well, the other beings, they said, we got to break this down. We got to do something about this. We got to take the attention off of this black female and do something with it so that we can, and then we'll go after her man. Because we're in our race or in our culture, one person wasn't better than the other. We were a team. Whatever that woman said, that man did. Whatever that man did, that woman was going to back him up. She pushed him to the limit. The thing about it is somewhere down the line, when they implemented their plan, they was able to bring the black woman in. And one way was when they depicted the black woman against the male in the workforce. There's a lot of research out there. I'm sorry, was there a question or something?
No. I was just in agreement.
When they decided that, okay, we got to break this family unit down, how are we going to do this? Well, let's educate the black female, bring her out of the household. Bring her out of the household, give her a job, thing, make her work. Okay, when they did that and they brought the black female into the corporate industry, when they did that and they had two jobs, say they have two jobs available. Well, a black male and a black female will apply for the same position. The thing about it is they would give the black female the job and wouldn't give the black male the job. So what did that do? That pumped her head bigger. She wasn't seeing that, wait a minute, they're depicting me against my male. She wasn't seeing that at the time. So
right. When
the male could not get a job because he knew he was the provider, he knew he was the protector, that did something to his inner being. It lowered him as a male. And that's where you get the masculinity of the male. Yeah,
right.
It started in slavery, of course, when they had the buck forms, for they will use the males and sodomize the males, and then after that didn't work, and there was still a strong family unit. When the civil rights movement came, they saw another opportunity to dismantle the black family, and they implemented it. This time they pushed harder indirectly, and no one saw it coming. By the time it was there, it was a little bit too late. So when the black woman was yell and scream at the brother and say, "You ain't got no job," and blah, blah, you know, "You can't do this, you can't do that." Well, what they don't realize is a black woman speaking to a male like that, a black woman can make or break a man, because she is the one that gave that man birth. Yes, he carries the seed, but he does not carry that child and for 9 months. So the black male is attached to the female internally. So whatever that seed, so the words of the female can strike him down. It can destroy him. A female can destroy a male in with one blow of a word or a few words. She can cut him down to his knees. Why is that? Again, because the woman is the nurturer. She's the one that birthed, gave that male birth. So, and the male looks to the female for a certain type of strength. If that female is broken, the entire family unit is broken. The female must regain the knowledge of herself. And when she regains the knowledge of herself, a nation will be born again.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yes, you have to understand, because every male has a mother. You see, look at your mom and see how close you are to your mother, as opposed to how close the daughter is to that mother. Just look at it. Mm-hmm. A man has a total, some type of different respect for a woman, but when that woman loses the respect for herself, she begins, and then, or she puts herself in a position or in a place she's not supposed to put herself in, and then she'll tell the man, "You ain't this, you ain't that." It breaks the male. Now, I'm not saying that it's all the women's fault. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, although some of the women's, they took on that character, those characteristics, you still have other women out there who saying, "Look, brother, I know you better than what you are." But because they've been wounded, they think that the black woman is scolding them. So that's the reason why they go to that's why they interracially. Because why? That white woman, that Asian woman, they don't have a type of voice like we have. Our voice is stern. Our voice is loud. Our voice power behind it. So if the man has been beat down so much, and then he hears that strength in that woman, it's like, "I can't hear you right now. I don't want to hear you right now. You're belittling me," when she's actually not belittling him. It's just that he can't take that, because he needs to heal from within himself and realize who he is as a male as well. So we have a couple of things. Several things going on here. We have physical, mentally, and psychological things that we have to deal with within ourselves, and spiritual. So, and the spirituality was broken. It was torn down. I ain't talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality. We were taught religion as opposed to spirituality. And because of that, we have lost ourselves on so many levels. So there's a lot of things that our community is dealing with. The post-traumatic slave syndrome is nothing that actually happened 400 years ago, something that people are actually dealing with right now, right today. And people need to understand that. And once we sit down and just let the truth out, if a man needs to cry, let him cry right now. If he needs to scream out and say, you know, I was hurt, I was this, let him say that. And if the woman needs to say that, but what we don't need to do is badger each other right now and point the finger at one another. And that's what's been happening lately. There's been a lot of finger pointing at each other. And it's not either one of our faults. It's not either one of our faults. It's the person who was the instigator who turned us against each other. And when we find out when we learn that we was duped, if you would, like Malcolm X said, then you realize, wait a minute, hold up, you know? And once we realize that, we can start to heal and stop pointing fingers at each other. Yeah.
Right. I totally agree with everything you said. And I really want to dig off into something that you said. I want to take a quick break. I got a few more callers online. And for you new callers, this is an open mic show, and we're really just dialoguing here. So whenever you want to get in, I'm going to take a quick break, but whenever you want to get in, just hit your one, and I'll see your mic in the queue, and I'll open up your mic as soon as we come back from this break. Sister Queenie, you bringing up some real good points, and like I say, I really want to dig into the what you said about we need to heal, because I've said that several times too, and I also want to touch on something else that you were making a point to, the divisiveness, you know. And we got the people out here like the Kevin Samuels, you know, he's just one of the guys, but to me, he's like one of the main guys out here bashing black women. There are several that I've saw on YouTube, you know, with these brother bashing channels. So, yeah, I want to touch on that healing aspect, and I also want to get off into the divisiveness that we sometimes put on each other, and we'll get off into that right after this quick break. I want to thank y'all for calling in, and like I say, callers, if you are wanting to get in on the discussion after the break, feel free to press the 1, and you can join in the discussion. This show is for the queens. I'm just in the house. But this is the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr., and we'll be right back after this quick break.
Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman could bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to? A sister's open up to make you holler and scream.
Hey, yo, let me take it from here, queen. Excuse me, but I think I'm about due to get into precisely what I am about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no whatsoever clue. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 high to happy, overjoyed. Please, with all the Dollar beats and rhymes my sisters have employed. Click as we throwing down the sound, totally a yes. Let me state the position. Ladies first, yes?
Yes.
Cause when it's time for loving, it's the woman that gets from strong, stepping, strutting, moving on, rhyming, cutting, and not forgetting. We are the ones to give birth to the new generation of prophets, cause it's late. I break into a lyrical freestyle. Grab the mic, look at the crowd and see smile. Cause they see a woman standing up on her own two. Sloppy slouching is something I won't do. Some think that we can't flow.
Can't flow.
Stereotypes, they got to go.
Got to go.
I'ma mess around and flip the scene into reverse.
With what?
With a little touch of late.
Yeah, there's gonna be some changes right here.
Who says that the ladies couldn't make it? You must be blind. If you don't believe what here, listen to this rhyme. Ladies first, there's no time to rehearse. I'm divine and my mind expands throughout the universe. A female rapper with a message to send. The Queen Latifah is the perfect. Grab the mic and get dumb.
Yo, praise me not for being simply what I am. Born in L-O-N-D-O and sound American. You dig exactly where I'm coming from. You want righteous rhyme and I'ma give you some. To enable you to aid yourself and get paid. And the material that has no meaning I wish to play. Pay me every bit of your attention. Like mother, like daughter, I would also like to mention. I wish for you to bring me through the rhythm. Of which is now systematically given. Desperately stressing I'm the daughter of a sister. Who's the mother of a brother. Who's the brother of another. Fuck one more. All four. Have a job to do, we do, and respect due. She's a mother who's the root of it, and next up is me. The M-O-N-I-E-L-O-V-E, and I'm first, cause I'm a L-A-D-I-E.
Contact, and in fact, the style it gets harder. Cooling on the scene with my European partner. Laying down track after track, waiting for the climax. When I get there, that's when I attack the next man, or the next woman. It doesn't make a difference, keep the competition coming. And I recite chapter and verse. The title of this recital is Ladies First. The mic. The scene is right, the crowd is tight. I expel the whack and those who bite. Why? Cause I'm that tight. Swaying with beat 45 King style. He wants me to sing, but I'll swing so meanwhile. A footnote for the opposite sex. Moni rip the mic, I rock it next. Flex. You never catch me at my worst. You get the drift? It's late first.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. And I have online with me Sister Queenie. And we were speaking before the break, and before the break I had brought up a topic that I really want to get into now. Oh, and thank you all for listening. Those of you who are listening online, if you would like to call in and be part of the discussion, this is the Queen's Table. This show is basically for the Queens. We're having some pretty good dialogue right now. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. And if you would like to join in the discussion, comment, question, opinions, just press the 1, and I'll see you in the queue, and I'll open up your mic. Okay, now, before the break, sister, you had brought up something, and I told you, you know, after the break, I want to kind of dig off into this part of it as well, the divisiveness, you know, how we are so pitted against one another. You know, and my thing is that we, and I'm going to throw it in right now, We got to recognize our need for each other. That's something that you were speaking on in, you know, and I think that it's crucial that we know our positions, you know, as men and as women as well, you know, and be more supportive. You said that, and that's something too, that we don't support one another's dreams and aspirations the way we should as black men and black women. And like you said too, you know, that in itself is powerful. You know, black love in itself is powerful. So, yeah, I want to kind of get off into that divisive part of it, as well as the part where you said, you know, and I've said this millions of times too, black men and black women, we've got to be real with each other. We've got to heal one another. We're all dealing with the same system, for one, and this system is it treats the black man, the black woman, the black child, the elderly community. We all get the same treatment, you know. So it's up to us to really start taking care of one another, start looking after one another, start, like my brother constantly says, my brother Kevin, he says, we got to start giving each other the benefit of the doubt, as opposed to always giving that benefit of the doubt to the enemy. You know, we never show each other that same compassion that we show someone else who's going through things. And my thing is, you know, if we don't do this for one another, just look around. Who has our best interests at heart? And if we don't, nobody will. So I'm going to let you get off into that. And I'm going to yield and let you have at it, sister.
Well, like you said, we have to have our best interests at heart. First off, I think what we need to do is we need to put more positive affirmations. We need to put more positive words after to each other. Like, not too long ago, I did a salute to my black brother. I've been doing salute to my black brother for years. I wrote this poem years ago, and some of my sisters are actually on the line that's listening right now. So thank you guys for calling. Thank you, beautiful queens, for calling in on Melvin's show. And I know he'll tell you the show name because I think some of them just came in.
Yeah, the big picture.
But the big picture. Okay, right. So anyways, what I was saying is, yeah, it's like we have got to give each other more positive words and even just say them. Even I used to tell people this right here. It's a boomerang effect. When you say, oh, we're not coming together, do you realize how powerful those words are? Do you really know what you are saying? It's like you say those words, and then those words go to the universe, and guess what? Those words bounce right back. It comes right back to us. It's like it's returning to the one who said it. So if so many of us are saying that, do you realize how powerful that is? And that's what we had to break. We had to break that spell, that curse of words that we're using. And I would tell people, you all stop saying those words. Those words are powerful. I said, and every time you do that, we're taking not just one step back, we're taking 10 steps back. Because if a woman says it, and a woman is the matriarch of the family and of the community, do you realize how powerful that is? So I said, change our words. So that's the first thing we have to do. Rather than saying, oh, our brothers ain't no good, our men ain't no good. No, whether you see them doing good or not, you speak, our brothers are doing well. Our brothers are loving themselves. They're loving the women. They're taking care of their family. You know, because you got to first love yourself first in order to love someone else. And if you don't love yourself and you hate yourself, guess what? You're going to hate your female. You're going to hate the children. You're going to hate anything that looks like you. So first of all, you got to first love yourself. And the woman, too, especially the queens. The queens got to love themselves because we've been depicted to love ourselves by materialistic objects, by pressing our hair, wearing long eyelashes, wearing, and I mean, it's nothing wrong with beautifying yourself. It's when you start to worship that and you don't feel a self-worth unless you have these objects on you. And I'm like, wait a minute, you got to learn to embrace yourself. The most powerful thing on our head is our crown, and that's our hair. When we embrace and love our hair, we begin to understand and love ourselves. Now, when a brother looks at us, or we think that we need a validation from the brothers, and the brothers look and see that, oh, you know, I don't like no girl with no nappy hair. Because there it goes, you know, everything is just messed up. Women, black women, by the same token, put the men down, but by the same token, they still want the man to give them accolades, still looking for acceptance from their own black male. So, see, you got a lot of psychological problems going on in our communities. So they will put on this fake hair because they think it is the epitome of being beautiful, because that's what the white man said. Well, if the black brother goes along with it, then they need a validation for that. When no, you know, until the black brother, now the black brother is saying, you are here anymore. I love you, black sister, the way you are. I don't need this. I don't need that. But you know what's in the black? I heard a young girl say this not too long ago. Oh, while he up there saying that, I bet his woman got straight hair and fake nails. You see? So we have a lot of healing to do in the community. But the thing is, like I said, the first thing is to, you know, put out positive words and affirmations every single day. Do you know that if you think positive for 1 week, it would defeat a negative thought for a whole year? It would go away for 1 week. Anything negative that has been out there for a whole year, you can defeat it in 1 week if you think on the same thought. So when we say, the queens of tonight that's on the table, just start speaking. Our people are now coming together. We now love each other. Our people are now awakening. Things of that nature. If you start speaking that into existence, start happening. And the ones who refuse to accept that, we can't do anything about it. But I guarantee you, 90%, I want to do a 90-10. I'm going to say 90% of our people will probably come around. 10% of them will fall off. And we can't do anything about that. But at least we are now starting to change our words, our way of thinking, and everything, because we are part of the universe. So what we put into the universe is going to give back to us.
That's right. I got another call. It's my brother that I was talking about a while ago, just a few minutes ago. And for any of you sisters who are online listening, you want to join in, I'm going to open up his mic and let him jump in. Any of you other callers who want to comment, make a statement, just press the 1 and you can join in the conversation. That way I will see you in the queue and I'll know to open up your mic. I got my brother. Your mic is open now. Peace, it should brother. Be open. Peace, brother.
Peace to the Queens as well.
Thank you.
I appreciate what she was saying because it actually it's right on that's one of the most individual things a person can do. But it's big. That's something that I used to tell people a lot was start acknowledging each other. You know, just acknowledge each other. That can change somebody's whole day just by being acknowledged, because we have a lot of people out here who are not homeless, things like that. People walk past them every day and act like they don't see them. They're trying to rush past them. So, you know, for that, just because they're homeless doesn't mean they're less human. You know, so I feel like everybody deserves acknowledgement. But I love what she was saying about the words that we put out there. This is why I don't like referring to my brothers in a negative way, even if they've earned it. You know, even if they've earned it. So I totally agree. I think that's huge, because the words do mean a lot, because that's how they kept us in bondage. With the words that they put on paper and the words that they use in our ear and in our woman's ear or our man's ear and in our children's ear, all of those things still stick around to this day. They're still here. So everything that was bad then that was here is still here. And, you know, we can't end racism, but we can end this individual way we think as the black community. We can fix that. Racism is something white people have to fix. Classism is something that rich people have to work on. But how we see each other, that's all us. That's all us. So that's all I had to say. I'm going to shut up, go back on mute, and finish listening.
Appreciate you chiming in, brother. I appreciate it very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Oh, by the way, to all of you other ladies out there that are just listening, don't be scared. It's your chance for your voice to be heard. So let's hear what you got to say.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. We can get back off into it. I do appreciate you calling in, brother, and imparting your great words and knowledge as usual. I'm in total agreement with everything that Sister Queenie has said as well, because I mean she hitting the nail right on the head with several different points that she made. And words do have a lot, you know, to do with our condition, you know, and, you know, I write poetry as well. So I really understand the power of words and word usage and word play, period, you know, and some of the things that we say to each other and are very negative. Some of we really reinforce the stereotypes of one another worse than any other ethnicity does at this particular point in time. You know, we keep the negativity amongst ourselves going. As opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, mm-hmm. outside influences that used to keep it, you know, keep us at one another. And you know, like I was saying earlier with the, you know, brothers like Kevin Samuels and several other brothers, you know, and really I'm, you know, anybody that knows me, I'm about the family. And I'm about, you know, being loyal to your mate, and not only being loyal, but beneficial, because we all have something that we can contribute to one another besides hurt and pain. 9325, I see you in the queue. I'm going to open up your mic and close my lips and let you get in here. Just state your name, and your mic is open, 9, and welcome. You still there? Okay, maybe she still got her phone on mute.
Oh, sorry. I have my mute on. Hello?
Okay. All right. Yes, yes. Welcome.
All right. This is E.I. Moday from Dallas. And I want to thank you, Mr. Quinny, for sending me the number tonight. So I just had a few words that I wanted to say about words. And something that I've observed over the years, even from our brothers who are in the culture, and some sisters had, this first one, had brought it to my attention that even the brothers who are supposedly conscious choose women who aren't conscious, black women. And, you know, I'm thankful they chose a black woman. However, it doesn't really add to our conscious community like that, in that anxious sisters should make more conscious decisions about who they love and get into relationships with. And if we could think outside of just ourselves, if we're going to be community-minded and conscious community-minded, then we have to take actions as such. That's even in if you and a brother break up, he gets with another sister, even if he may not be that conscious, but even if you don't want to tear down his personality and his character in the community, because I've had this happen to me, and my thought was, hey, you know, we need all the conscious people that we can have, and to not try to ostracize in others who come to the community like that. Though I believe that brothers should make better decisions on who they want to be mated with. The other thing is the profanity. We have to think about the generations that are coming up, just not each other. You know, as you say, words have power. But if your every other word is a profanity, you know, how do you expect your child not to use that and have a higher consciousness? We have to use a higher consciousness at home. That's even, we have to come together and promote and hold each other up in our conscious thought. And that means that starts at home. My main example of this is my granddaughter, when she was very, very young, a man came in to fix my, and she said, oh, look at there. There's a princess. You a princess? She said, uh-uh. He said, you're not a princess? She said, uh-uh. He said, then what are you? I'm a hoochie mama.
Huh? Oh.
She been listening to her mama and her auntie now. She a hoochie mama. Then I had to, being embarrassed, I had to kind of talk to her that night. And I said, baby, you don't want to be a hoochie mama. You want to be a princess. You know, a princess gets this and the princess, you know, it's beautiful and the princess has all the things that a princess has. So when he came back the next day, he said, oh, he said, how are you today? She said, oh, I'm doing good. You know, she said, he said, well, you a princess? She said, uh-huh, I'm a princess.
So it's just being able to, when you're in the car and you're playing all this music, and I don't care what an adult listens to, but if you are feeding that to your child, that's how they're going to live, and that's what the next generation is going to do. You have to think of now and think into the future and what it is you want your child to take on. How you want a child, if you want to uplift your child. When I was in the car with my daughter, my granddaughters, I used to sing, used to play Queen of Fools music, that I wrote a letter to myself. And I said, I love me. I love me. We, you know, we can't be saying, oh, okay, you know, bend your back, bend over, crack your back. Come on. You know, right. I wrote a letter to myself. I said, I love me. That's all I got to say. All that profanity doesn't say, I love me. We have to watch our words, just like the sister said. And it starts with our youth. If we can't catch the ones that's grown who ought to have enough sense, or can't catch the ones that's 18, 19, who done been through so much whatever they've been through, but you got to catch them young. When you're in the car, you just need to be conscious all the time, because we are under attack. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate those comments, Queen. Those were some powerful statements, and I totally agree. We've got to, like you say, use our words to uplift one another, use our words to help each other grow and become better, more powerful individuals. 4823, I was told that you had a comment, and I'm opening your mic now. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
And the floor is
great.
Yours.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. First of all, peace and power to the family. And salute to my sister for inviting me on. Hey, I just want to say this. These kinds of conversations really are beneficial, no matter what age we are, no matter what stage we are. And I'm saying that because I remember once upon a time when I was heading into my 30s, and I put together a program, and the guy that I was dating at the time basically was trying to discourage me because he felt like this type of a format was more for younger people. But I beg to differ, and I actually had a successful program. Now, Sister Queenie knows that I'm talking about the birds and bees. So I'm going to say that I think we need to have these conversations a lot more. And so I would like for us to consider doing this on a regular basis. You know, we can have the birds and bees conversations. It doesn't have to be about, you know, relationships as in dating or marriage per se, but just how men and women relate, how we relate to each other, period, which plays a factor into building the dating and marriage and family relationships. So I just wanted to say I'm glad to hear this type of talk, and perhaps we can work together on doing more of the birds and bees types of conversations and formats. And that's it.
Most definitely. And this platform, actually, Sister Kim, you can get my number from Sister Queenie, and we can dialogue offline as far as trying to put something together on a weekly basis, where we can bring the brothers and the sisters together, you know, and really hammer out some details, and that will, you know, I'm like you. I don't think that you can talk about this situation enough, you know, because if that were the case, we wouldn't have any, you know, of the bothersome issues that we, you know, face every day. So, yeah, definitely get my number from Sister Queenie, and we can definitely try to start working that and doing that as soon as next week, just picking a day where you all are free to call in. And I have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday wide open on this particular platform. So that's something that I'm willing to put some time and effort into as well. And I'm in the DFW okay. area as well.
Cool. Okay. Well, I have an app that we all can work together on as well. So I will be getting, you know, in touch with you, too, so that we can all make sure that we have several options for platforms in which we are all partners, so to speak, on, because we got to get away from being solely dependent on the so-called major platforms, you know, the FBI platform. So that's something that I'm open to.
Right, right. I am very open to that myself, sister. Matter of fact, I was talking to my brother earlier. We were just talking about just having, you know, the ability to use different platforms other than the, you know, major platforms that are out here, which are YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, the TikTok thing, you know, all those
yeah.
types of platforms.
Right,
yeah.
I call them
so,
the FBI.
Right, right.
Facebook,
yeah,
Instagram, you know. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
I'm gonna put y'all back on mute because I might be having a little background noise now.
Okay. No problem. But yeah, those are the kind of things that I'm always talking about because, I mean, I agree with the sister. You know, these are issues that are on us daily. So we've got to be on this issue daily. You know, and I'm all for it because this is my thing. This is really my dream for just to see black families flourishing again and to see the black man loving the black woman loving the black man. We respect one another. We're making power moves, true power moves, you know, doing foundational things. You know, and these are things, and like the sister was speaking, we've got to speak power into the youth. I'm big on that as well because I say this all the time. You know, our youth are more valuable than $1 million bank account. You know, those are the seeds that we need to be sowing back into, you know, because we've got to – a weaker and wiser generation, it's up to us to give them the guidance and the wisdom and knowledge that they need to navigate, you know. And then, too, we've got a generation of children. We were listeners. I'm 52. So, you know, the Internet, we saw all this technology birth and grow into the monster that it is now. I'm all for, like me and my brother were saying earlier, we've got to get back to doing some things the old school way, you know.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Honestly,
that's
we've
right.
got to get back to doing some things just the old school way. But first of all, reinstilling respect, you know, and teaching, like I say, our young boys to be men and teaching our young ladies to be women, you know, and just having that mutual respect for one another. You know, my granddad used to tell me all the time as a young man, you know, have self-respect, because sometimes that's all you have, and sometimes that will take you further than anything else. You know, sometimes money can't get you what respect can. And as a black man, I cherish everything my granddad said, because, like he said, you know, our word sometimes is all we have as black men and women, you know. So if our word is no good, you know, we're no good. And like I say, we've got to start being that generation that gives back to the youth, just like the elders prior to us gave back. You know, and I'm accepting my eldership position now, but I want to make the best of it. I want to be the best example that I can be. I'm not going to be a perfect man. No, nobody is. But I can be an example of a good man, you know, and we can be examples of good men and women and give our, like I say, just give our children back a sense of hope, you know, because I think that's really what's missing. They don't have any hope now. They can only see as far as that phone, as far as that screen that's in front of them 24/7, you know, and that's something else that we've got to get them away from, the brainwashing, you know. And so, yeah, those are all very key things. Sister, I'm going to be quiet and let you have the floor back. I know you probably got some comments that you want to make, so just feel free to tell me, you know, I'll be quiet. This is for y'all tonight.
You good. You are good. I mean, that's the whole thing. Balance is good, you know, and I hope the other brothers are still on as well. But, yeah, everybody has said something tonight, and I think this is actually a great start moving forward so that we can get some things off the ground, because we have the elder in, that's Sister Yamode, and, you know, and she was speaking from an elder point of view and telling everyone, you know, we need to, you know, slow our roll with some of the words and everything, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's just that I think everyone has said what they need to say tonight. We just got to keep on doing what we're doing and spinning out from where we are right now. And it's called building on all platforms. Because once we understand, again, who we are, the children, they see us by example. I even noticed that right now with my children being the age I am. You have to keep showing children who you are and what to do. You can tell them all day long, but until you get up and start moving and grooving, as they say, or shaking and baking, them children ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to do nothing. They're going to stay on those phones just like you said they're going to do. So we have to put the actions out there in the universe by our actions itself. That's what we have to do. And then with our words backing it up. Because remember, like you said, the word is all we have. But, you know, talk can be cheap. But actions speak louder than words, too. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody can kind of agree with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how mom and dad used to say, don't do as I say, don't do as I do as I say. What that came from to this day, I don't know. Because actually, we did what we saw them do. We didn't do what they say. So if you see your mama in the kitchen cooking and your mama showed you how to cook and clean and everything, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do that same thing. If you see your mama laying up with another man and bringing men in and out and shicing people and being conniving and stuff, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do that same thing. Nine times out of ten, monkey see, monkey do, as they say. I ain't saying we monkeys. I'm just saying, y'all. But I'm saying you're going to do the same trick as that parent, as your parents did. And that's what we got to understand. We got to break that. And we have so many people out here right now. Yeah, we have so many people out here right now that are young parents. Those girls are still in the club. They're still doing this and still doing that. We ain't knocking not having fun, but where did they learn our that? It's like, again, everything was planted. Everything was by design. And it's like they baited the trap and we fell for the bait. Or some of us fell for the, or some of our people fell for the bait. You know what I'm saying? So unless you had a strong family unit, unless you had that strong family unit, your children fell by the wayside because even if you did have a strong family unit, the world was pushing for our children. They pushing for our children. So we're fighting against the world. We're fighting against everyone out there to save our own children. And the only reason why we have not been successful is because we did not have that community unity.
Yeah.
You hear what I say? We didn't have the community unity. Everybody to its own. And I think Kim and I was talking about that earlier, this separation. Maybe she's on mute, I don't know. But she has something that she has a statement or something that she put together. I can't remember exactly how it went. Separate but together. They was pushing that. That is a topic that we definitely need to speak on. She was telling me about that last night. And I'm like, you know, girl, you hit on something. They want us to be separate but equal.
Well,
I think that's what they said. What was it, Kim?
I don't know.
I don't know if y'all can hear me.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, what they were saying was we're all together, separate. And I'm like, that. If I hear that one more time, I promise you I will scream. I thought they were going to have to carry me out in a straitjacket because they kept saying we're all going through this together but separate. That is ridiculous. That's double talk, and it's basically just driving the separate wedge. And then at the same time, considering the double talk, we're together separate. Then at the same time, they were hitting us with trying to convince people that one, that the one, the all is more important than the one. So it doesn't have to be an extreme. It doesn't have to be all selfish, and it doesn't have to be all, it's always about the whole group, because that's another way that they've gotten us beat, in that they want to do this majority rule stuff, you know, and so, and then some kind of way we always end up being the minority. No, it's time out for all of that, and we are going to have to be together, not together separately, and we're going to have to recognize each other as individually, and the best way to do that is just to respect each other person, each person. And this is all it is to it.
I know that.
I agree. Wow. Yeah, you said a mouthful then, sister.
I'm sorry. I tend to do that. But, yeah, that together but separate thing, that was just driving me bananas. I had a couple of friends who were laughing at me because every time they would say that, I would say, they're going to have to carry me out of here, y'all. Just get straight jacket ready, because if that's ridiculous. They were trying to brainwash us into making sure that we stay apart. And now people are still apart. People are afraid to go around each other because they think this other person is just going to make them sick. You know, when they know good and doggone well, there was no illness just floating around in the air. It was stuff they were spraying in the air and maybe, you know, putting in your food and putting in your neighborhoods. But it wasn't just naturally just floating around to where if you're around somebody, you're just going to automatically get sick. There are people today who, even though this has been going on a year, and right now I think they're pumping up another, they got another variant they're pumping up right now to make sure that people remain separate. And it's just disturbing to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, it's true. You're right.
I agree.
Hey, brother, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to jump in. I've been loving what I'm hearing. I agree with what the sister, I believe her name was Kim, was just saying about some of the games that they play. But the only thing I'd say about it is the virus is real. Their reaction to it is what my problem is. And a lot of it is, like she said, the double talk. You know, in the past year, I heard the Chinese were responsible. Then I heard that our community had the largest spread. Then I heard the Latinos. Everybody had this large spread except MAGA. MAGA didn't have no large spread. MAGA was still meeting with Trump. MAGA was doing everything. And to me, that was one of the biggest things. But what people forget is, while we were dumb enough to go stand in line for sneakers during the pandemic in Atlanta, which was a few hundred people in line, in Sturgis, South Dakota, they had 350,000 bikers that met up there and then went back to all different parts of the country. So to me, the virus is the only thing that's winning out of all of this, because it does create a separatism, but it's not the reason we're separated. We were separated before they ever mentioned we were separated before they mentioned the word virus, because the true virus was all of these social media sites, all of these different things that basically allowed us to stay separate and invite all of these people in through a device and then turn the device off, and all of those people are gone.
Right.
So we've been slowly being separated for over a decade now. By the time we realize it, we're already separated.
But I think what she's saying also is it's not that just the – she's saying that it's added to the problem in our community already. Like it was, it was trying to separate us more, and we're already separated. So now you're trying to use this quote unquote virus and all these variants to separate people more. Which, if you do that, you're gonna completely put someone in isolation to the point of no return. And that's what I think that's what she was saying. Help me out, sister, if I'm wrong.
Oh, no, no, no.
You're absolutely correct.
No, I wasn't disagreeing.
No.
I was just stating that
you were agreeing.
Our separation has been a work in progress since we got here.
Yeah.
Since we got here. It has always been designed to separate us.
How about our separation has been a work in progress since they got here?
Yeah, there you go.
The thing is that I'm all about accountability. Accountability says if I look at the history of Africa, we were never one true nation. We were fighting with ourselves there. So unity.
Okay, the reason I said since they got here is because, if you look at the history of Africa, if you look at the history of even this land, you will find that we were already here. Now, the separation game started with both areas of groups, I guess you could say both groups, because it really was more than just the two land masses involved. And I'm simply saying you are absolutely.
We lost somebody.
Think so.
Yeah, she dropped. I don't know what she's still.
Yeah.
She's still on, but.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
I'm just saying this virus thing has helped to continue to build and to make sure that those of us who weren't feeling separate are more separate. Because,
right.
I mean, I know how real the so-called virus is. And I have to say so-called because I have some very specific experiences with this virus. And I think we all do. I'm not going to claim it just for me. We all do. But my point is, if you notice, they keep popping up the variants. Every time people start to relax, all of a sudden they come up with a different one. All of a sudden, you got to be on alert again. And see, now people are starting to get numb to it. So now they're saying, "Oh, we're gonna have to go on lockdown again because this next variant is even worse. Let's go on lockdown again." Well, why? I mean, why? Because it's not going to stop the variants, apparently. The vaccine is not stopping the variants, apparently. So the only thing that can stop it, evidently, is people. And not to mention, if we all had the wisdom, somebody mentioned old school earlier, but if we all were using our mother's wit and our grandmother's wit and, you know, our ancestors' wit, so to speak, fathers and grandfathers included, we would be well because we would be using some of these home remedies for our immune systems in the first place. Because at the end of the day, if you're starting with, I want to say like a palate that's not already halfway done in, then the virus would not have as much of an effect as it's taken on some people. But then when you put that on top of isolation, and then you put that on top of the comorbidities, and then you put that on top of the mental illnesses and everything else altogether, the depressions and all of that together, we're going to end up with not only just more separation, but then you're going to end up with dysfunctionality when you do try to come together. So I'm just saying we just need to be vigilant and make sure that we understand that this virus is more than just bio-warfare. It's also psychological warfare.
I totally agree. What I would like to see us doing, though, as people, us black, especially black people, with each other, is we need to look at this realistically. We're dealing with a system that was built on slavery and genocide and capitalism, okay? And we're trusting them when 100 years ago, the way they fought the pandemic at that time is the same way they're fighting this one. The only thing different is now, instead of there being 2.5 billion people on the planet, there's 9 billion. So the virus wins because the virus has 9 billion potential hosts. So you're right. There is really no way to stop this, even with lockdowns and stuff like that, unless you just stop everybody from moving. And that's not going to happen because why? They've wired up the world to where certain stuff has to go on or we'll be sitting in the dark. So that part, I just feel like all of this was in a weird way. I don't know if it was by design, but it worked out for them because our separation helps their win. And their separation from each other means that those who are more progressive would not be able to talk to those who weren't. And this is why we have a solid nation of 75 million people who are still willing to vote for a guy like Donald Trump. And that's scarier to me than the virus.
You just touched another nerve. I'm sorry. You just touched another nerve. See, my sister is laughing because she knows that that's a nerve for me. Because I'm at the point to where I just feel like we don't need to vote. And I'm sorry.
I've been trying to get people to do this, but they won't listen to me.
They won't listen to you because we don't need to vote. Because I'm going to tell you the reason why I didn't vote. It was because when I looked at the whole picture, I would have had to vote for Donald Trump, and I was not fixing to walk in there and do that. And the reason I say that was because when you looked at what was really being said in the midst of all of this was There, of course, there was absolutely nothing for us, period.
Out of any of them.
But then
at least
Donald Trump did put up a front. Biden didn't even bother to put up a front. Okay, that's number one.
Well, I don't
then
know. You
on
sound
top
like
that,
you're seasoned, sister. So that means you remember Joe Biden back when he was messing with Anita Hill.
I mean,
you
I remember how he treated her. I don't even remember that, but my point is, I just knew that he didn't show me, there was nothing there. I was like, y'all, are y'all kidding me? This man didn't even bother to try to put up a front. He didn't even try to put up a front when it came to the pandemic, because all he ever said he was going to do was make sure that vaccinations were available. So that told me that they had no end game for this virus. So I sure wasn't going to go over that.
He picked up the football that Trump had been supposedly running with, which made me know that that was even worse, because now we have two old-ass white men charged with running the world, and neither one of them has a clue.
Because neither one of them are running nothing but their mouths.
Right.
I like this.
Exactly. This is where I've been with this from the beginning. Me and Melvin spoke the day all of this broke out, because it broke out the weekend of my birthday last year. I wasn't happy about that. You know, had a nice comedy show I was going to go see, you know. And all of this, when I saw that they started shutting down things that made money, like arenas, because if you're killing off the NBA, you're killing the arena. That is 50% or better of their money every year.
Right.
So when I saw that they were killing stuff off, I said, yeah, they're about to make a statement. They're about to pull a trick, and they're pulling wool over everybody's eyes. You got people out here fighting over toilet paper when they're forgetting, in order for toilet paper to be necessary, you need food.
Right. And the whole thing was... I still don't understand the toilet paper fight, because if it was about diarrhea, you know, if it was about diarrhea, why wouldn't they just tell people how to handle diarrhea? You know what I'm saying?
Eat a couple of bananas and get on with your life.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Jesus. We had the virus over here. We had, you know what I'm saying? It's, I don't know. The whole thing is just sickening, because I'm not understanding how people, the majority of people, don't seem to see what's in front of them. They're not just tearing down our communities. So you're absolutely right. This isn't just about us and us being separate in our communities. They're tearing down their system. And they're tearing down their system for a reason.
It's an attack on poor people mainly. Because poor people are the ones who can't afford any of those things that are coming out. And anytime the government gives you something, you better be careful, because they sell us stuff every day, including you.
Right.
So, you know, for them to say we're going to give you something, you should be nervous, because we, as black men and women, have been at the forefront of their medical experiments.
Yes,
so
there's
a lot of
things
that they would not know if they hadn't poisoned some of us to find out.
That's right. That's right.
So, with this, I'm like, with all the stuff you've been doing to me in the air, the water, the food, hell, even the baby powder, you want me to take a vaccine from a company that's messed up baby powder? How? Why? I know who Pfizer and Moderna are. Aren't they all being sued over the opioid crisis?
Okay.
You want me to take the vaccine from them, too? Look, y'all could have Sunny Delight in them syringes. It'll never go in wrong. I'll take my chance with the virus.
I think. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What I think that they did is they underestimated the minds of the black people. They thought they had a hook, line, and sinker. So they thought we had, you know, they done many years have passed by before, you know, before the Tuskegee experiment.
and then all those other experiments. So they figure, oh, well, we got them now. Because what they do is they do a survey. I'm sick of these doggone surveys. They do these surveys, and then they go by the numbers that's in the schools of the children taking the vaccinations and things. So that's what they was banking off of. So they was banking off of their little documents and stuff of what's in the school system and everything. But they underestimated that there was a voice out there or a mind out there that had not been disturbed yet.
Well, what they got to get out of me is a skeptical black man who is everything that they say I am. They say I'm angry. Damn right. Yes, I am.
I know that.
They
right.
say that I'm belligerent. I can be. You know?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I'm all the things that you think that I am
too.
And then some.
That's right. That's exactly. And that's energy. That's the energy and the fight, y'all. That's the energy and the fight we need to hold on to. We just got to make sure we're challenging at the right, the adversary, and then we, you know, we come together with that energy of fight with love and bind together. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to open up another mic. 5586, I just noticed, wants to get in, so I'm opening up that microphone now. 5586, you are new. Your mic is open. Yeah, just state your name and make your comment. Yes. State your name, please, and make your comment.
I said my name is Metaphysician Patrick Dix. Can I make a comment?
Welcome, brother. Go ahead, brother.
I can make a comment? Okay, well, the statement that I wanted to make is pertinent what y'all talking about, but I just got through coming from work, and just to prove, like I said, you know, what the sisters are talking about, okay, I get off the job to clock out, and they got two Negroes at the time clock, and they say that you have to wear a mask to clock out. And then I told one of them, I said, didn't y'all understand the mandate from the governor? There is no mandate in Texas. Then he tells me I just said to clock out. I said, man, I just started working the job. Then I just told him to his face. I said, look here, I'll have my day, like I said, with you. See, the thing about it is, this is the reason why so many black people are gonna die, you know, especially black men. They have no excuse. Because the main problem is, and I want you to listen to me good, brother, okay? It has never been a race war. It is a gender war. So you've had these brothers for 50,000 years that has suppressed the cosmic mother, that has suppressed the matriarchal system, which was the original system, million times, I could say, you know, And what the battle is, one of the things I prophesied 25 years ago, that there would be a battle between the conscious Negro and the unconscious Negro. And this is where we're at right now. And it's so deep, you don't hear these brothers and sisters talking about that everything black is not created with a soul. So when you're in spiritual warfare, you have to be able to just discern, you know, a spirit. Does this so-called carbon-based person have a soul or not? That's the reason why we can't, you know, come, like I said, together, because we don't have a spiritual warriors to discern this. Even when you look at the situation, and I'm originally from the dirty stuff. I'm originally from North Carolina. There is no reason in the world that George, like I said, should have turned, like I said, blue. That was a major slaveholding state. But look how those Democrats, those black Democrats up north, how they maneuvered from California and all these other places to go in to basically a red state and turn the black people blue. And remember, black people are the one that put this man in office. And then they wonder why all this strange stuff is occurring to us because most of the so-called spiritual leaders we have, they're not teaching our people spiritual warfare like, you know, how do you manifest your cult powers? How do you manifest your sacred sexuality? Okay, how do you manifest your divine feminine energy that all of us have? You see, this is the reason why a lot of the problems are going in the black community. I say 90% poor black male leadership, and I say about 10 female poor, you know, male leadership. And then I'm going to say one more thing. You know, it's amazing to me that all these so-called black leaders that we have, they don't base nothing on science. They don't base nothing on nutrition. And they sure don't base nothing on medical technology. This has been going on for 18 months, almost 2 years. Matter of fact, March will be exactly 2 years. It is amazing to me nobody has never talked to a professional medical technologist. They are the most science-trained health professional in the healthcare industry that deals with blood banking, serology, hematology, okay, clinical chemistry, microbiology. You have to know those sciences. See?
Yeah.
You know, when you look, I even looked when the white boy they shut down, conscious white boy. You know what I'm talking about. Because they shut all his Facebook, Twitter down. No, the white boy. The old brother.
The British one.
Yes. Because I actually sat and watched the whole hour.
Is it David Icke or something like that?
Yeah. David Icke. He literally broke it down in that whole hour that COVID-19 is a man-made disease. And after that, they shut his ass all the way down. See, this going to be the hardest problem, like I said, for black people. It never was, like I said, about, you know, color, okay? You wait till the black people find out who created the white man. Then they really going to find out who their enemy, like I said, is. Because remember when Public Enemy had that album? Back there in 1990, Fear of a Black Planet. This Earth used to be a 100% black carbon-based planet. So nobody's not talking about from how did it change from that point until now. See? But the main thing why so many brothers going to get destroyed, they don't even realize the divine feminine chaotic energy is already in the Earth. You cannot control, like I said, energy. You got to flow with that energy because that energy existed before the massive end, even though it was within. It is very chaotic and it's very destructive. But if you are a true divine master, you know, male king, you're supposed to understand order to manifest that power. The black man is supposed to be the king, the redeemer, okay, and the enforcer of the law. The black woman is the resurrector, the queen, and the lawgiver. You can trace it all the way back. I'm going to say one more thing. It is amazing to me nobody's talking about this. When you look at the time that the matriarchal system was shut down, you can, in what they call so-called Africa, you can trace it all the way back to here in America, because America is the land of the mortals. Turtle Island, Moon, Kemet, Atlantis, Maria, Pangea, right here, okay? So they knew exactly what they were doing. The white man did not exist in America. That's why I agree with the goddess, Miss Kimberly J, Metaphysician Kimberly J. Absolutely right. 85% of the black people in America, not only are the indigenous and original people is here, we've been here millions of years versus the 1,000 years that they've been here. But the white man is not the original of this land. He's from the doggone Ural Mountains, way on the other side of Russia, I guess, somewhere. Because he ain't nothing but a hybrid anyway. And I'm strictly talking about the white man that doesn't have any carbon. I'm being real clear. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If I could ask a question, just a comment I heard, something he said I just wanted to clear up. You said something about the men being 90% responsible as for lack of leadership and women being 10% responsible for lack of leadership. And I was just wondering, how did you get that number?
Like I said, it's very simple. Number one, if you have studied the IPA system that deals with the Yoruba, you know, high priest and priestess, they will break it down. Because, matter of fact, my Baba, and I miss him, like I said, so much, I only got one reading from that elder, and it was powerful. And one thing that stuck in the mind, I didn't understand it at that time, but I've been understanding it for the past 5-6 years. Okay, your right side is your feminine side of your brain. That is your subconscious mind. Your left side of the brain is your mastermind, 10%, your conscious mind. See, at the end of the day, it's all about conscious energy. If you listen to what these sisters were telling you, okay, if you really tune in on it, okay, they would basically explain out of all this stuff that they tried to do, they could not destroy our mind because we are the original goddesses and gods. They flipped this. We've never been.
No, I was following the sisters, brother. I'm real good at this. I've been in the game for a minute. But I was just curious about one thing. How do we get to that number, 90 to 10? That's what I'm wondering.
I just explained it to you. I'm going to explain it to you, like I said, for a third time. You need to do
it. No, if you've already explained it, then I'm good. Because then that means I'm still not going to get it.
Well, you got to study, and then you got to pray and meditate it so the spirit can bring clarity. And the reason why I'm telling you got to do that, let me tell you something. There was a time I did not understand Bobby Hibbert. I thought Bobby Hibbert was so strange, but all of a sudden, as I grew in my meditation and quest for knowledge, and I just kept praying, all of a sudden, it's like it had to be some cosmic gods or goddesses that opened up my mind, and then I was able to understand Bobby Hibbert. See, and I'm going to tell you, The chosen of the elect of the superior universe has already been chosen and elected right now. And you tell this the big way is by nature. If you can connect with anything in nature, or even if you have a conscious black woman that tells you that you are an alpha male, or tells you that you are a man with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, that you are king, like I said right there, that's the proof of the pudding. So you can tell, like I said, from nature. You can tell, like I said, from the divine feminine energy. And you can tell, like I said, from, like I said, the youth. That's how you can tell. And what I'm telling you right now is that somebody, an elder, you need to look up. Because we are in spiritual warfare. You need to look up the elder Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller is 94 years old. He says it better than anybody. Black men all over the whole earth is out of order because there's no reason that this earth should be in the position that it is. You can only blame, like I said, a black woman 10%. Even what's going on in Ethiopia, because we have people over there. And I would listen to the two Ethiopian journalists that they were talking about this propaganda that the West is doing about trying to make it like, you know, the Ethiopian government is fighting against, I just said, those rebels with all that stuff is set up because they're trying to shut down Ethiopia. But see, what they don't know about Ethiopia, they just said to open up a can of worms because they were never colonized, okay? there is power and energy over there in Ethiopia. If they open up that can of worms, they're going to get totally destroyed because we're already in that prophecy. But when I heard both of those Ethiopian sisters, they even said that this Democratic government in America does nothing for black people at all. So when I hear it from goddesses on the other side of the earth talking about that this Democratic government ain't no good, that's a powerful statement. And them ain't the only Ethiopian sisters that have commented about the public scene in America. We have no leader. In the past 6 months, I can't tell you how many black women did I talk to conscious or not conscious, and they would tell you two things. They're not getting no protection in any community right now, and there is no leader right now that can get us out of what we're in. And so I come to the conclusion that it's either going to be in this young generation, whether it be X, Y, Z generation, or it's just going to be the divine feminine cosmic goddess. I still think it's going to be a cosmic warrior goddess that's going to have to do this because the divine feminine energy, the divine masculine energy on this earth, it's weak. It's very bad.
But I appreciate you, brother. I just was curious about that because it sounded patriarchal, and I don't usually ride on that lane because some of my best warriors that fought with me were women, so I didn't see them as anything other than my comrade. I didn't separate them due to their gender, if that makes sense. But that's where I was at, Melvin. I'm gonna shut up because
I'm gonna jump in here because I only got about 3 minutes left in the show right now. Excuse me, brother. I only got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I want to give the queen
a
last.
Go ahead.
I want to give the queen a little chance to say some closing words in these last 3 minutes before I close the show. Queenie, Sister Kim, if you'd like to make any quick comments before I close out.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining in on tonight's discussion, and we're looking forward to having more discussions to empower the queen and the queens at the king and the queen's table. So that's pretty much it. I just enjoyed everyone tonight. And I'm just going to say much love to each and every one of us. May we grow stronger. May we come together and move forward and claim the nation and build the nation that we are supposed to have, so that we can continue to strive as a people for eternity. That's it.
All right. I appreciate you, Sister Queenie. Sister Kim, do you have anything you'd like to say in closing?
I do not have anything else to add. I say thank you, brother, for having this platform. I appreciate it. Thank you, my sister, for inviting me. And I'm glad to hear from a lot of people that I hadn't heard from in a while. And that's about it. And nice to meet you, Melvin, and nice to meet you, too, the other brother that came on and talked and spoke. I can't wait. Now
you.
I got a whole group of a whole new group of people to talk to.
Right on. My name's Kevin. I'm Melvin. I'm one of Melvin's brothers. My name's Kevin. I'll be around.
All right, Kevin.
Right. All right. Well, and I'll just say in closing, I appreciate everybody who called in, brothers and sisters, who actually had comments, and appreciate those that just called in and listened. Appreciate those who listened online as well. Like I always say, you know, it's time to plan, organize, and unify. And with that comes a nation. You know, I've been saying this ever since this pandemic started. We need each other out here. And we're about to see really going forward how much we need each other. And I want to do more of these talks. Like I say, we can – Monday show is just my big picture, but we can definitely start coming together and using this platform just like this. Next week I'm planning on bringing brothers and the sisters in, so I'm hoping that – some of you queens can come back next week as well. Brothers, hope that you can come back as well, because my thing is building networks and building safe zones and working with like-minded people so that we can change the condition. Until we come together and stay together, our condition is going to continue to deteriorate. And that's why I say, we need each other out here. The black woman and the black man are the most powerful beings on this planet, and we need to come together and realize that for ourselves. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network, and this has been The Big Picture with Brother Melvin Siri Jr. Peace. Power and love, and I will see y'all next Monday, same time, same channel. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him left to 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the time and show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words say invisible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip.